The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And today we're going to be discussing a really great organization in our community, and actually there are others like them throughout New York. And that is an overview of the services and programs provided by Cornell Cooperative Extension of Ulster County. And we are very fortunate to have Jared Buono. Jared is Executive Director at Cornell Cooperative Extension of Ulster County. Prior to joining in 2018, Jared spent a decade in India working with communities to protect drinking water sources. He has a PhD in hydrology and has worked in 11 countries. But he was born right here in Ulster County on a farm in Saugerties. And he currently lives in Hurley with his family, and they spend a lot of time skiing, which is great. You know, I'd love to do that as well. And welcome, Jared.
Thanks. Good morning, Vin. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Jared, before we begin talking about the programs and services, I just have to ask, What was it like living in India for a decade?
Oh, it was a wonderful opportunity. I had spent much of my career working with rural farming communities around the world on a variety of different extension projects. And my background is water management, natural resource management. And when I was graduating graduate school, my wife and I said, why don't we take some of the knowledge that we have, some of this experience that we have from around the world, and help communities in need. And my wife's Indian origin. So we said, let's go to India. Her family had left generations before, but we still had some connections. And we didn't really have any support there, really. And we went and we found partners and we plugged in and we helped communities. And gosh, it was amazing. India is an amazing country. It's really big and really diverse. But their challenges with water are just immense.
Right.
They're the most dependent country on groundwater. So, You know, facing climate change, when people would come visit, I would often say, hey, welcome to the future, because they're facing a lot of the challenges that all of us will be facing soon.
Wow. What an amazing experience and opportunity, and what a great way to contribute. So Jared, before we begin discussing some of the great programs and services, tell us what a cooperative extension is. How does it relate to Cornell University and local communities? Just can you give us a quick background on that?
Yeah, this is part of the land grant system started under Abraham Lincoln. It goes way back. And the idea was that states would provide land for universities to set up, with the idea that that university would then have to benefit the people of that state for that land that they got. It was called the land grant system. And Cornell happened to be New York State's land grant institution, the College of Ag and Life Science, the College of Human Ecology. Their programs are set up to benefit the people of New York State. Now, that doesn't mean everybody gets to go there, but the research that happens at Cornell in those colleges has to then disseminate out to all the communities of New York and help us with things like agriculture, environment, youth development, and health. So we disseminate or extend the research of Cornell University to the communities of New York. And at the same time, our experience on the ground in all counties of New York, there's an extension association in all 55 counties and 5 boroughs of New York. Our experience on the ground then informs the research that continues at Cornell University.
Wow, what a great heritage. So talk to us a little bit about some of your key programs. You can start wherever you like. It's such a long and wonderful list.
Sure. Yeah, it is quite diverse in terms of what we do. The first extension agents came to Ulster County in 1913 were agriculture experts, and they would and continue to work with farmers on addressing the latest pests that are coming through, the latest varieties that thrive in New York State. Whatever challenges the farmers are facing that the research gets applied at Cornell. We have research plots around, including some in Ulster County. And agriculture continues to be sort of our core programming. Shortly after the first ag agent came, not that long after, came 4-H, which is, you know, our youth development program. I think everybody knows 4-H stands for head, hands, heart, health. I think it's one of the most, I think it's the world's largest youth organization. And we continue to have a thriving program in Ulster County that not only does youth ag education, but now we're doing STEM. We have 3D printer programs and drone programs and all sorts of different things in youth development. And then, of course, we work in environment. One of our largest programs here in Ulster County is we are the lead partner for outreach and education on the New York City watershed. So we have a lot of stream management and watershed education that goes on. And then finally, our Healthy Communities program, which does a lot of health programming, including nutrition, outreach. We do farm to school, where we're trying to get more healthy local foods into schools, and several other health programs. Mm-hmm.
And there's one in the notes called Eat Smart New York. What is that all about?
So Eat Smart New York is part of the SNAP program. If you're Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, it's a federal funded program. And we have nutrition educators who help families and schools with better food, you know, how to get more fruits and vegetables in their diet, drink fewer sweetened beverages, lower salt, healthy lifestyles, that type of thing. Huge demand for it, a huge need for it. And they stay quite busy here in Ulster County working with schools and individual families.
Mm-hmm. And what does that typically look like? I mean, are they like teaching families how to shop for food, how to cook, how to all of the, you know, exercise routine, all of the above?
All of the above. And we have two nutrition outreach programs. One is the Eat Smart New York. The other one is FNIP, which is the Expanded Food Nutrition Program. And the latter tends to work more with individual families on budgeting, cooking actual recipes. Mm-hmm. So we have nutrition educators that will work with you. If you're a family on assistance, we can come up with a series of recipes. You can do meal prep. You can learn how to cook on a budget. You can learn how to cook healthy foods. And our educators will actually do the cooking with you. Mm-hmm. We used to go to people's houses. We're doing less of that now and more of it online, of course, during the pandemic. But the Eat Smart New York SNAP nutrition educators spend a lot more time with institutions working on more policies and systems. So making sure that at schools, for example, wellness committees are putting fruits and vegetables first on the school lunch line, rather than putting sugary snacks up front. Those types of changes can have large impacts on children's health and their choices. So that's the type of thing that our Eat Smart team will work on.
Mm-hmm. And just today I was on a Healthy Ulster Council meeting, and your farm to school coordinator, Katie, talked about the farm to school program. So how's the reception been in the school community? I mean, among food service professionals, administrators, parents, et cetera. Are they generally receptive to this information and this guidance?
Yeah, they are. And this is a relatively new program. New York State started supporting this. There's some federal support for this. And we just hired this new position. Katie started the regional farm school program. The goal is to get local healthy foods into schools. The school lunch program is more complex than I think most people know. It has to do with federal subsidies and the farm bill. It goes all the way to Washington. It's a complex challenge. And what we try to do is to get local foods in. You have to the school has to agree to 30% locally sourced foods, and that opens them up for more funding. And that sort of breaks them free of, say, the federal school lunch program.
Right. As Katie was explaining, I think if they can demonstrate that they're using 30% foods that are grown, produced in New York State, it jumps like from, I think, 9 cents or something like that a meal to 25 cents. It's a pretty substantial jump.
Yeah. And you really need to do that because the way it's set up now is the federal subsidies that the schools get are based on what the kids want to eat. And, you know, if you put popcorn chicken in front of kids, that's what they're going to want to take. So it's really kind of hard to, you know, get steamed asparagus on the plates. So it's kind of a negative feedback loop. So it's a really important program to, and you asked if people were receptive. Everybody's receptive to it. Certainly the parents, the school administrators, the people in charge of food service, their challenge is, you know, we're not really set up for connecting farmers to schools. So we really need to build those relationships, to build those networks and to make those connections, because food service directors don't have time to do it, honestly.
Yeah.
They're busy there putting food on tables. And, you know, if anybody goes to a local school, you'll see that they don't cook so much in the kitchens anymore. They open things and warm them.
Right.
So it's almost like, you know, we have to go back to cooking foods in schools. And Antioch District has done a lot. George Washington School in Kingston is doing a lot. There are really good examples out there. It is possible to get healthy food in schools.
Yeah. And processing food, I mean, taking food directly from the farms means, you know, washing, cutting, preparing, all of that, which is very labor intensive. I mean, it's certainly worth it, but as you said, you know, there are practical concerns. So Jared, we'd like to learn a lot more about your programs. But first, we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be back after these words. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today, we're talking with Jared Buono. Jared is Executive Director at Cornell Cooperative Extension of Ulster County. And they have some really amazing programs. They're such a great community asset. And Jared, before we took a break here, we were talking about the farm-to-school program, FNAP, and a few others. Would you care to talk a little bit more about healthy schools and what Cornell is doing in a more comprehensive manner to facilitate health among our students and families?
Yeah, we love working with schools, both in terms of environment, agriculture, health. One of the newer projects I'm excited about is we are in partnership now with the City of Kingston on something called Creating Healthy Schools. And we hired an educator who's going to work with individual schools and facilitate the creation of health and wellness committees. And within each school, the health and wellness committee is there to work on policy, systems, and environment improvements. So making changes to nutrition, physical activities within the school, how the lunchroom is set up has an impact on student choices for nutrition and health.
Interesting. And you're also I see in the notes here that there's a lot going on with cooking classes, right? And this interesting initiative with our partners and your partners at Ellenville Regional Hospital on prescribing healthier food. Can you elaborate on that bit?
Yeah, Ellenville Regional is doing some great work where they'll prescribe fruits and vegetables. The the health practitioners are there, will send people home to go to farmers markets and find local foods. And so we work in partnership with them and host healthy cooking classes, now all virtual. But we're occasionally sometimes there in the hospital itself, doing cooking demos, showing people how to cook with local and in-season foods. It's a really great program to help keep people healthier than necessarily finding different ways to keep people engaged and healthy. Mm-hmm. And our cooking classes cover a lot of different things. We do ServSafe, which is a health and safety certification for people in the food prep industry. We have a lot of canning classes, fermentation classes for people who want to learn that. And we'll have interesting classes on occasion. Even Indian cooking was something we did a couple of years ago. And now everything is online. It makes it much easier for people to join in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really great. Really great stuff. And, you know, there's a program that I'm very aware of, because as you know, I have been deeply immersed in, along with my colleagues, in combating the opioid epidemic and the ravages of that. And you have a program known as Relatives as Parents, which is a really, to me, amazing program, because we know that when trying to help individuals with opioid use disorder, that it's not just the individual who suffers, but it's the entire family. It really puts so many stresses and strains on the family, and that if you don't address that individual's challenges in a holistic fashion, a comprehensive way, you may not make as much progress as you'd like to. So talk to us about Relatives as Parents. I think it's such a great program.
Yeah, we offer a variety of parenting classes. Cornell develops curriculum specific to New York State, which I think is extremely valuable. And the Relatives as Parents program is a part of that, where we do outreach to relative caregivers. So kinship caregivers, perhaps aunts and uncles or grandparents who are now raising children. You know, you mentioned opioids. It's really devastated an entire generation. And so their children are being raised by now their grandparents and other family members. So we do parenting classes. We offer some respite for grandparents for example, over the holidays, we would do youth programs with the kids so that the relative caregivers could go do Christmas shopping or just take some time off for themselves. And that was really their gift for the holidays. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot with referral programs. We bring in a lot of different types of speakers for the relative caregivers in addition to the parenting classes. So we do health, nutrition, wellness, outings, physical activities, and we just keep the kids and then the caregivers engaged. And right now I think we're up to about 25 families, but there's always a huge demand for it. We're hoping to expand it in future. Right now we base mainly out of Kingston, but we'd really like to see Saugerties, New Paltz, and Ellenville have their own centers mm-hmm. working when the pandemic is over.
And I think I would imagine that for the caregivers, just to have to be in association, have the social supports, not only of your staff, but other caregivers who are going through similar circumstances. Yeah. That's got to be a big plus, right?
Yeah. And a lot of them, you know, you think you're done with parenting and then you got to do it again. It's tough the first time.
Yeah. You know, well, thank goodness they have, you know, a program like yours and dedicated staff. So Jared, you know, anyone who's living and breathing right now and has listened to any or read or listened to any news in the last several years knows the extent of climate change and its impact and potential impact on not only our environment, but on populations of you know, all over the world. I think 100 of the most populated cities in the world are at or below sea level, including the southern half of Manhattan. You know, we've had guests on from Sina Cutson, Riverkeeper, environmental advocates. So climate change is here, and you know, the meter is running. It's running faster and faster. So Tell us about what Cornell Cooperative Extension is doing to help prevent, mitigate, and adapt to climate change.
So in order to meet New York State's climate goals, which are significant, and rightly so, we have, I think by 2030, we are going to reduce our emissions by 50%. That is going to take drastic change across all industries and sectors and change a lot. And frankly, we need to be that aggressive because climate change threat is so real and impacts everything from food systems to infrastructure to health, as you know. So we provide a lot of support to municipalities and individuals in terms of what they can do to help in order to reduce emissions. We have a low carbon cookbook that we're working on. Surprisingly, there is not one out there. And so part of our cooking classes are low carbon recipes. Reduce your emissions and eat healthy food. It turns out that things that are generally good for the planet are generally good for you, is what we're discovering and happy to promote. But we spend a lot of time working with municipalities who are doing a lot of work and have been in Ulster County for a long time. Most of our towns and villages and cities have been working towards resilience for quite some time. Everything from LED streetlights to improved stormwater runoff. And those changes are coming fast. There's new funding opportunities and there's going to be new mandates based on the climate goals that I mentioned. And so we work with them on improving some of those plans that they have for municipalities and seeing what's coming down the pipe in terms of new programs and new challenges.
And I think, you know, and as we've discussed on Healthy Ulster Radio many times, is that, you know, the dichotomy between a healthy environment and business really is a false one. It no longer exists that protecting the environment, mitigating climate change is also good business. I was talking to a person from, she's the chief renewable sustainable investment officer at JP Morgan, one of the largest investment banks in the world. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, a 15 years ago, investing in sustainability and renewables was just like a niche thing. You know, it was like a feel good thing that people would add to their portfolios. But now it's like a $3 trillion business and growing. So, you know, it's really not, you know, we can help protect our environment, mitigate climate change so that, you know, that our children and grandchildren and generations to come can live a good and healthy life, while at the same time creating many, many new jobs and new opportunities here, and of course, in Ulster County, in the United States, and all over the world. So, Jared, before we run out of time, I mean, I can't think of an organization that offers so much that has, you know, the breadth and depth of what you all offer to us here in Ulster County. What a tremendous asset. So tell our listeners where, if they want more information on anything we've discussed today or any of your programs and services, where do they go to find that?
We're all over the web. We have social media, but you can find us at our website at ulster.cce.cornell.edu. Mm-hmm. If you search CCE Ulster, you'll find us. We're also on Facebook, YouTube, everywhere, Instagram, and everywhere else. Please do come to our office. We have one office in the Kingston Plaza. We have another office dedicated to watershed outreach in the town, out in Shokan, mm-hmm. right on 28. And we offer programming throughout the county in different, we're out there with 4-H, we're at the fair. Mm-hmm. Come see us, come talk to us. Give us a call anytime.
That's great. Well, Jared, thank you so much for all of the work, for your leadership and all of the work that you and your colleagues do. You know, we are so grateful for it, and it's such a tremendous asset to our community. So thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to have you back soon. Thanks a lot.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for today. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.